Good morning, everyone. Let's try that again. Good morning. First, I'd like to extend my thanks for each and every one of you coming out this morning and on this Sunday morning. You know, even though I'm glad you came, there's someone a lot higher than me that's pleased you came too. And that's the Lord. You came out to worship Him this morning. Also, I'd like to say that I appreciate being asked to speak this morning. First time I spoke to a crowd, I think, this Lord, so bear with me. And also, I'd like to thank everybody for the welcome that Mary and I have received since moving to Lake Charles. We've been welcomed. It's a lot of people that we've met. It's a lot of people that we haven't met that I hope that we get to meet as time goes on. So bear with me. I'm not the best on remembering names. This morning, if you remember, the scripture reading was about Jesus going into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So this morning, I want to talk to you a few minutes about dealing with the devil. You know, this past year, there's in De Quincy, there's been some spiritual growth. I'm sure Lake Charles is thankful. Lake Charles is also. There's been scores of people converted on our missionaries. We've had several buildings built, four or five buildings built, new congregations started. So there's been some spiritual growth. And a number of people have even publicly and privately rededicated their lives. So that's good. But you know, anytime individuals in a congregation grow spiritually, there's someone that's very angry, and that's the devil. You see, he jealously guards his kingdom, and he don't care if you come to church. If you're still in his kingdom, that's okay. You can attend church all you want to. But he jealously guards his kingdom. The devil is extremely evangelistic, and he's a great recruiter. He's very deceitful. And when we do anything that costs the devil, he becomes enraged and he counterattacks. You know, it's been a summer of a year of growth, some, but it's also been some stress involved in that. You know, anytime Christians lead the fight against the devil, there's going to be some stress. You know, stress is a fact of life. It seems like the devil says sometimes, boys and girls, if you mess with me, you're going to pay. And that's the reason he takes it personally if we grow spiritually. There's one that dared to fight the devil. And that was Jesus. When he went into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, not God. God does not tempt, of course. Nor he allows us to be tempted more than we can stand. So he went in to be tempted. Now, Jesus had all the attributes of a human at this time. He was hungry. And this morning, I want us to look at Jesus' temptations in a different light, maybe. Commonly, we study the temptations of and try to deepen our understanding on the temptations that Jesus went through. I want us to look at it that Jesus recognized the temptations and how that Jesus defeated the temptations and how that maybe we can recognize them and maybe we can defeat. A brief preview of the wilderness temptations. You know, it was read just a minute ago, the text was. So we know that Jesus went into the wilderness, and the first temptation he encountered was turning stones to bread. Now, Jesus was hungry. He had been fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it didn't mean he didn't eat anything. He only ate a little food and a little water, but he was hungry. And Satan asked him to turn those stones into bread and take care of his physical needs. And Jesus refused, and he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And then the devil wanted him to demonstrate his confidence in God by jumping from a high place. And he even quoted God's promise to take care of him about the angels would not let anything happen to Jesus. But Jesus refused, and he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. And then Satan offered him a deal. And he said, look, if you'll bow down to me, and if you'll worship me, I'll make you the king of all people. And Jesus refused again. And refusing, he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, 13, and Deuteronomy chapter 10, 20. And it was then that the Satan broke off for a while, and the angels came and ministered unto Jesus. Obviously, we can see that Jesus used scriptures to fight the devil. He used scriptures, but if we only see that he used scriptures, we miss the most powerful, powerful truth. If we do not understand how that Jesus dealt with the devil by quoting scriptures in context and scriptures that successfully fought the temptation that Satan was offering. Satan quoted one scripture to try to entice the temptation that he was offering to Jesus. You know, you can take scripture and you can quote scripture, and you take it out of context, you can pull most anything you want to prove. So it's not the fact that Jesus quoted scripture that defeated the devil. It's the fact that Jesus understood the scripture and knew what scripture to quote to let Satan know that he was defeated. Let's look at the first temptation in Matthew. Matthew lists the first temptation to turn stones into bread. And Jesus rejected the temptation by quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 1 through 5. And all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful that you do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers. You remember all the ways that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, and he let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor your foot swell those 40 years. And thus you know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, even as you discipline your children. See, God was used this wilderness experience. He used it to humble them. You remember, as you read about the children of Israel, they were a very proud and stubborn and belligerent group of people. They were always trying to turn away from God, it seemed like. And God used this experience as he led them through to humble them. He used it to test them, to receive what the reactions of their hearts would be, because their hearts at that time was unknown to God. And the purpose of their testing was to find out what was in their hearts. You know, it was what was in their hearts that determined if they were going to be obedient to God. God used their hunger to humble them. You know, he wanted them to know that he could take care of them, that he would take care of them. He wanted them to realize that they could not take care of themselves. And he fed them a food that they had never seen, never heard of. Their fathers had never heard of manna before. This is something entirely new to them. It was total foreign to all their experiences. But he wanted them to know that God could provide. And the purpose was to teach them that they need to depend on God. He said, remember your experiences. All this time, your clothes didn't wear out while you were marching those 40 years. Your feet didn't swell while you were marching these 40 years. And says, you know in your heart, if you'll be realistic, that God was disciplining you just like you have to discipline your children. So Jesus understood that life was sustained by trusting God and not by just turning stones into bread. And the second temptation in Matthew's list was a temptation to jump from the temple and let the angels catch him. You know, Jesus responded by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 16. You shall not put the Lord your God to test as you tested him at Massah. You should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that you may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the land that which the Father swore to you give your fathers, by driving out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken to you. What is this incident at Massah that he's talked about, where they test the Lord, where they test God at Massah? You remember back in Exodus chapter 17, the children of Israel was walking, marching, and day by day a cloud led them to where they would go and where they would stop. Well, the cloud stopped that evening on a place by the name of Rephidim. Now, Rephidim didn't have any water. Now, these people had been marching all day. They were tired. They were thirsty. And they were grumbling. Remember, it was a conservative 1 to 1.25 million of these people. 1 to 1.5 million conservatives. And they had their livestock. So it would take a lot of water for them. And when they got to this place, it was no water. So what were they going to do? They were grumbling. They were mumbling. And even they told Moses as over and over, and they told him again, here, why did you bring us out here to kill us and kill all of our children? Moses was in a dangerous and a tense situation. So Moses went to God. And he prayed to God, what am I going to do, God? These people are about to kill me. And God told him, said, take the elders and the staff, the one that you used to strike the Nile, to turn it to blood, take that. And when you get there, you strike the rock and waters will come. Moses did and waters came. And the water came enough. So it had to be a large stream for them to all to drink. You know, how did they test God at Massah? Their words and actions says, God, are you among us or not? We don't have any water. Are you here or not? They wanted God to prove that he was there and that he would take care of them. So without jumping, Jesus knew God was there and he knew God would take care of him. And then Jesus responds to the next temptation, bow down and worship me. And Jesus responded by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, 13 and 10, 20. Let's look at those. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, 13 to 15, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods or any other gods of the people who surround you. For For the Lord your God is in the midst of you is a jealous God. And otherwise the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 10:20-21. You shall fear the Lord your God, and shall serve him and cling to him, and shall swear by his name. He is a praise, he are praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. What is the first of the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other God before you. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. So the first principle, the ground zero principle, is that you elevate God, you reverence God, and nothing else can receive your worship except God. So we know then that Satan's request was unthinkable for Jesus to consider. You see, Jesus understood Scripture. He knew all Scripture. Jesus had all the attributes of a human when he's here. We know he hungered. We know he was angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple. And you know, we know he was saddened when Lazarus died. But he was someone that knew the Scriptures. He knew all Scripture. So Jesus did not just quote any three Scriptures that happened to pop into his mind. The answer came from an understanding of the truth. And his understanding of the truth funded the context of the Scriptures that he quoted. He knew the true meaning of the Scriptures that he quoted. So what does it take for us this morning to deal with the devil? It takes faith. Of course it does. It says it takes a commitment to God, and we know that we have to have a commitment to God. We also know we have to have the desire to be a godly person. All of that is true, certainly. But to deal effectively with Satan, it takes more than that. It takes some knowledge of the Scriptures. It takes an understanding of the Scripture. Well, how can we get that? How can we do that? By studying. By studying the Scriptures, by reading the Scriptures, by using of concordances, by using companion Scriptures, we can get that knowledge to understand and learn the Scriptures. Let me tell you, aside from the grace of God, we are no match for Satan. He'll deceive us every time when he extends that temptation to us if we don't have a solid knowledge of the Scripture to fall back on. And we'll never understand the Scripture until we learn the context of the Scripture and how to use it in different situations. You know, there's only two kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms. One of them is the kingdom of Satan. One of them is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Satan leads to damnation, eternal damnation. The kingdom of God leads to eternal life. This morning I would that you would be in the kingdom of God and not in the kingdom of God. Perhaps this morning that you have some needs. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. You know, life is full of trials and troubles, and sometimes we just can't cope alone. We need help. We need someone to help us. We need a comforting shoulder. So this morning, whatever, if there's any needs at all, would you please come while we stand and sing?